Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Lucky Debt Podcast. My name is Jordan. Today is officially the 10th episode. We are in double-digit numbers. Last week, I said it was the 10th episode, but I was mistaken. It was only the 9th. So now we're officially on number 10. Regardless, thank you for stopping by to listen. I really appreciate it. If you have listened before, and this is not your first time, how about you leave a review? Leave a little comment down below. You know, however you do that on Spotify. I don't know if you can. You probably can, but I'd really appreciate that. You know, if you listen to a few and you enjoy them, let other people know. It helps them find it. I like reading comments. I like knowing that people listen to this. It makes me excited to keep going. And I just, you know, it feels nice. I like it. Anyways, if this is your first time, welcome to the Lucky Dip Podcast. We talk about business. We talk about esports, gaming, and we also sometimes just hang out with friends, have a good time, talk about news, usually relating to esports or gaming still, but we just have a good time here. That's what the Lucky Dip Podcast is all about. Like I said, my name is Jordan. I'm the co-founder of Cryus Gaming. I'm also the host of this amazing podcast, which I'm very excited to be doing, and hopefully soon we can be doing a video component because that would just bring it to the next level. And these are all things that I want to have happen. I've talked about them before in podcasts. It's just COVID, and that can be a little frustrating, but I'm not looking to dwell on the past. I'm not looking to dwell on COVID. We've all been dealing with it for so long. Let's just not even think about it for a little bit. Let's just talk esports. Let's talk some gaming. Today is just going to be me. I don't have a guest for the podcast this week, but that's okay because very recently I had a conversation with someone who actually does listen to this podcast. So shout out to you for listening and for reaching out to me. So yeah, I had a conversation with someone who listened to the podcast very, very recently who was also interested in starting their own esports organization. And we talked for like, I think 45 minutes just about kind of how we started Cryus, and that kind of inspired me to make this episode now, which is literally just going to break down how we actually started our esports organization, because I've talked about bits and pieces on the podcast. I might have brought up certain things, but I want to have this is the episode. If you want to start an esports organization, this is just how we did it. So if you want to kind of know about how we did it at Cryus Gaming, this is the podcast to kind of show you the whole timeline of how things worked out. And then near the end of the episode, I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of advice, just some things that I've learned through the past few months of doing this. Again, I just want to say I'm not an expert. We're still in the startup phase. This is still all very new. So don't take every single thing I say as like the gospel. Don't take it, you know, take it with a grain of salt that things could be different depending on your location. Things could be different depending on the type of org you want to be. Because I think an important distinction is that working in esports doesn't just need to be an esports org in the sense of having a competitive team, competing in a variety of games, and making content or something. You could be an esports org that just does analytics and statistics. There's so many different things that you can do in the esports field. This is just what we're doing at Cryus Gaming. So that's all I can really speak to. And we're learning as we go, so things might change in the future, but this is just our roadmap, basically. So I'm not going to say, here's exactly how you have to do it. It's more of like, here's how we did it. So take it, leave it, whatever the case may be. I just think it's valuable information to have out there, and hopefully it can help some of you. Maybe you can take some advice that I've said and apply it, or maybe you can hear something and it'll, you know, make something different in your brain. I don't know. I'm not going to keep talking about what I'm going to talk about. I'm just going to start talking about what I'm going to talk about. So first thing is that we started about a year ago doing Cryus Gaming, okay? Now, a year ago, we were not known as Cryus Gaming because Cryus Gaming was not a thing yet. So what we did last year was we were working with another one of our student friends, I guess, like just somebody else who was in our class, and they were having this esports thing. So it was called Crowd Control Esports, and it was an esports magazine. So every single month we would release a digital issue. And throughout that time, I've did some interviews with some people in esports organizations in different provinces. I did something with these people who have, it's like a store, but you kind of go there to play video games. It's all like Nintendo based, just how they're dealing with COVID and how things are working. And then I've also done a few issues just on Call of Duty because that's like my game of choice. So I kind of did it on the major last year, stuff like that. So we were with Crowd Control Esports doing esports magazine. We did that exactly about a year ago, and we did that up until March of this year. So almost a full year we were doing Crowd Control Esports, okay? Now, during this time, Alex was doing an internship with this like institute or something, okay? And it just so happens that his boss at the time is an instructor of a Launchpad Accelerator class that we took, okay? So I think an important thing to stress here is that we were quite lucky, and looking back at it, it kind of blows my mind how we got very lucky with the just the people that we ran into or the people that we knew in order for this to happen, okay? Now, I'm not saying you have to be lucky all the time. You can plan things, and that's I'll get to that at the very end. But luck is definitely part of it. And I hated when I would always listen to podcasts and people would say that, because I was like, what does that mean, luck? But you don't realize it at the time until you look back and you're like, that was lucky, okay? So what I mean by that, if Alex and I were never doing anything with Crowd Control Esports, we would never have had any esports experience, okay? So Alex could have done this internship still, right, doing podcasting and stuff, and talked with this instructor, talked with his boss, but he would have had nothing to talk about relating to esports because we wouldn't have been doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about doing esports, but if we weren't actually doing Crowd Control and doing the magazine, we would have had nothing to go based off of, so he would just be talking with the instructor sort of thing, right? So it's because we were working with Crowd Control Esports that we got into this Launchpad Accelerator class for Crowd Control, okay? So it wasn't for Cryos Gaming. It was for Crowd Control. It was because we were going to do a digital magazine. We were just going to do something with esports in general. We're going to focus on statistics, possibly. We're going to focus on collegiate, possibly. Basically, we had a lot of research to do still, but we had a base, okay? If we didn't have that base, none of this would have happened. Even if we met these people, nothing would have happened because we wouldn't have had anything to talk about relating to esports. I really hope that makes sense, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we're lucky that we met this person, but it's also like doing things to make sure that when the situation comes up, the opportunity comes up, the person, the connection comes up, you have a bit of preparation or a bit of background, so therefore you can bring that up in conversation, or they might have already known your work, or you'll have something to offer. I don't know. I don't want to say that's always what happens, but that's what happened with us. We were doing Crowd Control, doing some magazine stuff. Alex is doing an internship. I was also doing an internship, but that didn't relate to this. The instructor of this Launchpad Accelerator class was his boss, and because we were doing Crowd Control Esports, he kind of talked to the instructor, and the instructor was interested because it's esports and it's kind of new, kind of fancy. These are all business people, so it's a new field that they're not super familiar with, but they wanted to learn. So we had an interview with them, kind of told them the idea, showed them a little bit of our work, kind of told them that we have some learning to do and we think that their class would be very, very beneficial, and we got accepted into it, okay? So that's the other big thing. If we didn't get accepted into this class, who knows what would have happened, because we wouldn't have really had the opportunity to just completely focus all of our time for one class a week in our final year of university on our esports organization. So again, that's a little bit of luck that we got into the class and that we had some esports experience doing Crowd Control Esports, okay? So that's how we got into the class. When we were actually in this Launchpad Accelerator class, and what a Launchpad Accelerator is it's basically for entrepreneurs or people who are in, you know, having startups or anything like that, who focus on this business, you provided with resources, you have the opportunity to do pitches, you have the opportunity to meet a whole bunch of people who are in the business industry and people who can help you, connections, stuff like that, just focusing on your business, okay? So during this class, what we did a lot of, because we're in the problem discovery stage of our business, which was, what are the problems in esports in Canada specifically? So in order to find that out, because we can't build a business just based off of our assumptions, you have to have some backing to that. So we did a ton of research, and I say research loosely because it wasn't like academic research. It was research in the sense that we were talking to people who were in the industry, in a variety of different roles, and kind of finding out what problems they were having within the industry. So not like not personal problems or anything, obviously, but kind of like, let's say I would talk to someone who is the head of an esports organization at the provincial level, and I'd kind of just talk to them and be like, so what do you guys, like, what are some problems you guys see in the landscape? What issues have you guys ran into? What would you see as being valuable, you know? And we did that a lot, and we did that not only with people who were in these organizations or these tournament organizers as well. We also talked to people at the collegiate level in schools, in universities, in colleges across Canada, and also just talked to people who were, consumers, people who watch Twitch streams or people who, you know, we're esports fans that were Canadian. We talk to them too to be like, what issues do you see? So when you do that kind of research, you might get different answers, right? So based off of the answers that we found, we decided that we could be the solution. Well, there's a variety of different solutions. You know, I'm actually going to get to that in a second because I have a couple other points I want to talk about first. So when we did all this research, we also made connections, okay? Now, this is the biggest part, which is networking and stuff. Now, although COVID, I know I said we wouldn't talk about, COVID also sucks because you can't meet people in person. There's no in-person events. But the reason that it's good is because people are so much more digital savvy, especially in esports. I mean, everybody's always been more savvy in that sense. But a lot of times people are more open to talking with you and stuff because you're not asking to actually go anywhere. You're not asking to get coffee. You're not waiting for the certain tournament to happen to go there to talk to this one person to introduce yourself and whatever. It's we'll hop on a Discord call, right? Very, very easy to do. And lots of times people will have a lot of time now because they are also at home working and doing stuff. So they can squeeze in a call for half an hour with you over Google Meets, over Discord, however the case is, whatever works for you. But it makes it very easy to network with people in that sense. I prefer in-person networking, but this is also okay. And we're dealing with what we have and we're trying to build something in the time that we're in. So made a lot of connections, which is also very important because these are all people who are also already in the industry. Some of it might be nonprofit, some of it might be collegiate. So these might not be people we directly work with in the future, but they're just people who are legitimate, people who can help legitimize you and your organization, and just people who can offer advice and people who are trying to build esports as well, okay? And that's why that's very important because we're all doing this because we like esports, because we love gaming, because we want to see it grow as an industry. So talking with all these people, making all these connections is very, very beneficial. And like I said before, finding out what the problem is. Therefore, it is solidifying your assumptions or perhaps it's changing your perception on what you thought the problem was. Now, I'm not going to go into the specifics about what problems we found because that's what you have to go and do. You have to go out and talk to people, find out what their problems are, and it will depend also based off of what you want to do as an organization because, like I said, there's different things you can do, okay? So it will vary. So I'm not going to actually go into specifics about what it was. Here's the thing too. I really want to help everybody out and give a lot of advice and like say how we're doing things, but there are certain things that I still can't exactly say because that's like, it's kind of like our stuff that we've built and that we're working on, you know what I mean? So it's like some stuff is still like a little private, but I'm going to like say as much as I can. And I always listen to podcasts. Whenever they say that, I'm always like, are you kidding me? Just tell me how you do it. But I'm still helping you guys a lot. And I am telling you more than we were told when we were doing problem discovery, okay? We would talk to some people in the industry and a lot of them are great, but a lot of them really said nothing. You know, they would just say, well, blah, 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 blah. And like none of it was useful or helpful and they were not really willing to help. So you'll run into people who are very, very helpful. You'll also run into some people who don't give you the time of day or just kind of tell you to do it yourself. And you're like, well, I am trying to do it myself. I just need a little bit of help. So I'm not trying to be that person who's not helpful. I am really trying to help you guys, but there are just certain little things that I'm not going to go into deep, deep specifics about because it relates directly to our company. Lots of the other stuff is just in general though. So I can talk about all that. So what we did again during this class is monthly sprints. Now this is a very, very good way to keep yourself on track, to see how things change, to just show your work and to practice pitching. So what a sprint is basically every single month, you have a PowerPoint presentation, or I guess in our case, Google Slides. We don't use Microsoft. we don't use Microsoft Office. But yeah, you make a presentation every month. And what you kind of go on is, there's two of you, you both do stuff in the presentation. And all it breaks down is, for this sprint, we're going to look into this. So this sprint, we're going to talk to people in the esports industry across Canada to see what their top three problems are. Okay? Then you have a couple of slides that explain what you did. I talked to this person. I talked to 20 people. I talked to three people from this school. I talked to someone from this province, from this state, whatever the case is. Just basically explaining what you did and maybe some jot notes about the information that you found. It's just a place for you to show what you've done. It's kind of a way to show your work. Obviously, this was kind of done because we weren't graded based off of tests or quizzes or anything and not really any big, you know, projects. It was just building our companies, our businesses. So this is a way for us to get graded in a sense, but it's a very, very good way to keep track of things. And that's why I recommend that everyone does it. I still do these sprints with our business. I still make Alex do them too because they're a really great way to keep track. And you can look back. I can look back at our first one when we were with Crowd Control Esports and we were like, this is how we're going to do it. And then the next sprint is different. The next sprint is different. And then you look at the one now and we have an esports team. So it's just a really cool way to not only see your timeline, but just to keep yourself in check and to make sure that you're doing the right work. And sometimes the sprint could literally say, it was a slow month. I didn't really do much. I don't know like what to tell you. Like that's just what happened. And that's good because that's being honest with yourself. And that's just showing sometimes it's going to be slow. It's not always going to be super fast paced and I'm doing a million things. Sometimes things might just not happen, or you might have had four meetings and they all got canceled. Like say that in the sprint, okay? So it's just a presentation, maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And then at the end, you know, you just say your results saying, after we talked to these people, we learned this. This is how it can impact our business. And then you have one final slide where it just says, here's what our next sprint is going to be. Obviously, things might change. So you just kind of say, we're going to now focus on just schools. We're going to look at colleges, universities in these three provinces, let's just say, or these three states. So that's what it is. Little introduction, what you guys are going to be working on. Talk about what you did. Talk about the results. Talk about how it impacts your business. Talk about what you're going to do next. That's a sprint presentation, the gist of it, basically. That's really what I recommend doing, because when we're doing this problem discovery, by doing the sprints, that's how we kind of, you know, laid it out. We said, here are the big problems. Boom, 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 boom. There you go. How can we be the solution? There's a variety of ways. Here, 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 here. Here's our different ideas. We think this might be better. This might be worse. That's how you can keep track through sprint presentations. Now, at this time, we already had quite a bit of problem discovery done, okay? So we learned a lot of problems. We saw, okay, here's what's happening. Here's what people might need a solution for. And when you're working with three different people on the same company at the very beginning of it, you might have different ideas, okay? So we did Crowd Control, got us into this Launchpad Accelerator. We're doing stuff researching for the first couple of months. But once we had the solution, we realized that we have just different ideas of what our solution is going to be, right? We just had different ideas about, here's what we want to focus on. The other person didn't want to focus on that as much or didn't think it was as valuable, and they wanted to focus on a different part. So that's when, at that time, since we're so new, we all met, we all talked, and we thought, hey, the best thing to do right now is let's split off from each other and focus on the part that we want to focus on. And that's good. That's okay, because we're not so far in that like people are getting screwed over. There's not money involved. It was just research, right? So once we did that, we found that out very early that Alex and I didn't want to quite do what our other co-founder, or what the founder at the time, because we weren't co-founders, we were just helping him. So what the founder of Crowd Control wanted to do, we didn't want to do the same thing. So we decided, okay, we're going to split off. And that's okay as well, because think of it like this. The more people that are working in the industry, the better. And it's also good when they're doing different things, because if this other guy is doing things with streaming or with more nonprofit stuff, then we can work with him in the future as an organization. We can go to him and use his services. That is also beneficial. That's helping grow the industry. And obviously whatever he's doing too is going to grow the industry in his own way. So the fact that we broke off isn't bad at all. It's just part of our story. And, you know, we're still friends with the guy, obviously. You know, we all graduated together and stuff. So no hard feelings at all. It was all completely, is the word mutual? Like when we all agree on it, I suppose. I think that is. So that was that. So started with Crowd Control. Alex did an internship, met an instructor of a Launchpad Accelerator class, got into the class, did a whole bunch of research, problem discovery, pitch presentations, practicing, sprint presentations. Then once we found the solution, we broke off from Crowd Control, and this is when Cryos Gaming was starting to form. Okay, so that's the beginning of the story. Now, this next part is kind of like the last 2 to 3 months, 2.5 months or so of actual Cryos Gaming, how we actually did it. So all of that leads up to this moment where we broke off and part of this, this Launchpad Accelerator class was we have the chance to enter a pitch presentation or a pitch competition. Okay, so we entered and we didn't get into the big one, but we were still I can't think of words right now. I have so many thoughts going on in my mind because I'm trying to explain this in a cohesive way and words are not working for me. So we still were able to do this other pitch. So we put together a pitch presentation. We learned a lot. Our pitch was, I think, 5 to 10 minutes max. But also part of that included was questions and answers. So I think in total we got our pitch down to like a few minutes only. And then we had a whole bunch of backup slides. So if they ever asked a question, we could pull up a slide, right? But our actual presentation might have only been 8 to 10 slides. Again, it looked sort of like a sprint presentation, except pitches are a little bit different. So I guess that's my next piece of advice, is practice doing pitches. And it's very, very beneficial. I'll kind of bring that up again near the end of the podcast. I don't want to get too off topic. I kind of want to stay on how we did Cryos. So when we did this pitch, for the first pitch, because like you have to send in your application form, the one that we didn't get into, we didn't have a name. We didn't even know Cryos Gaming was going to be what our organization was going to be called, okay? We just had our ideas, our solutions, and our problem discovery. That's all we were going based off of. So we were very, very new. And this all happened within a week. So we broke off from Crowd Control. We decided that we're going to pursue our own organization, but didn't have a name, didn't have anything. And then the deadline for the application for this big pitch was like 2 days later. So within a couple of days, we put together an entire application, sent it in, and had a meeting with them. And that's when they were like, yeah, you didn't make it for this one. You didn't make the cut. You guys are too new, but come back next year and also do this other pitch. So when this other pitch was coming up, Alex and I are like, hey, we need to have a name now. So what we did, the very, very first thing, which this might be different from what other businesses do, because technically you don't really have to have a name or branding to be, you know, a company, right? But with esports, you kind of do, especially the way that we wanted to do it, where we wanted to have a team. We wanted to be competing. We wanted to create content. If we don't have a name, if we don't have branding and logos and all this, then we can't really do that, because they're not going to associate with anything. You know what I mean? Like nobody would join us first off, and then nobody would really watch anything, because there's nothing, like, I don't even have a name. It wouldn't even make any sense. So that's where it varies. Esports, at least, varies, or the way we did it, I suppose, varies a little bit from what you might be able to do with some other businesses. So very first thing we did, finding names. And I've talked about this in a different podcast. Finding a name was like one of the hardest things to do, because every single name you can think of for esports is already in use. It's either some org who hasn't tweeted since 2014, or it's a prominent organization, or it's whatever. You know, there's so many out there. So we had a list of like 15, 20, it might have even been more than that. It might have been close to 50 names. We looked through them. Okay, this one's already taken. Then we landed on Cryos Gaming, which I'm not going to explain about it all again, because I've already done that before. But the point is the first thing we did is we had to find a name. Can't do branding without the name. So we found the name, went with Cryos. Next thing that we did was made a bunch of socials, just handles and all that, logins, you know, so we could get into Google Drive, so we have the same Gmail and whatnot. Then while we're doing that, we also got in touch with the designer to make us a logo. So that process took a few weeks, because our designer was like pretty thorough, which is good, obviously. So like she'd have a few meetings with us, wanted to learn about like what Cryos was, kind of like who we are, like what we kind of wanted to do with the name. And then she had a whole bunch of mock designs, which she would send us. And then she had, you know, some rough drafts, and then we'd pick from those. And she had a few good drafts. Then we'd meet and talk about those, what changes. Then we'd have like a final version, our very, very last chance to like make any changes. And then we got the final product of our logo. Once we got our logo, then we were able to put that on all of our socials, because at the time they were just all like blacked out. So we could put that on there. We could finish creating everything. We could actually like start tweeting, because we had a name, we had a logo, we had our colors, we kind of had our branding, like space, you know, purplish, green, like dark green, all of that, like Titans, constellations, all that good stuff. So that's how we kind of started, okay? As soon as we wanted to become Cryos and do this other pitch, first we found a name. Then we did our logo and branding, okay? Once we did that, obviously we went into the pitch and we won, which was great. And this is, I guess, where like the important part is once we won that, we also were basically graduating. I think we actually did the pitch after we finished our last classes. I think it was like near the end of April. So we were already done school. So we both talked about it, Alex and I, the other co-founder of Cryos Gaming. We were like, hey, let's take a couple of months and let's just work on Cryos. Let's just see what happens. you know, we can't go travel right now. We don't want to hop into a full-time job just yet. We don't have anything lined up. So let's take this time. Let's just have a bit of fun with Cryus, work hard on it, and see if we can make something. Try to get a solid base so when we do have to go and get other jobs for the time being, we at least will have all the hard stuff out of the way, right? Because right now, if I had to go do a job, the good news is Cryus is already a thing. We already kind of know what we're doing by making videos, TikToks. We already have a team. They're already competing. We already have a name. We have branding. So all that stuff is out of the way, which is very, very nice. So I got a bit off topic. Sorry. So what we did, after we found the name and after we created the logo, after we won the pitch, we started talking to some of our connections about the org now. So when we talked to these people first back in like January, February, we were talking to them as Crowd Control Esports, but we also were very explicit in the fact that we didn't know exactly what we were doing yet, right? Because like we were Crowd Control Esports, but we weren't really going to do the digital magazine anymore. We were trying to find our next step as a business, our next step as an org. So we had to go back and talk to these people and say, we're no longer part of this, but we started a new company, and now we actually know what we're going to do, which is we're going to have a competitive team, and we're also going to make content. So it's kind of like updating them, but also just saying, if you have any opportunities, let us know, or here's just, you know, just keeping tabs on everyone. And we have some really good contacts at the university here, at another university, who we also met with, and they helped give us advice. They helped talk to us about it, and they all thought that it was a really cool idea that we were going to be a competitive org. We were going to find a team that we're going to make content, and they're all down to like work with us in the future because lots of them have like collegiate teams. And obviously, like, we're not a collegiate org or anything, like, that's not what we're doing, but we can still game with them or make content or compete against them, like, whatever the case is. So really, really thankful to those guys. They helped out a lot, and it was great. So that's what we did, and it made it a lot easier, because I'll tell you this, when you're doing problem discovery and stuff, but you don't have any idea of what you are going to do yet, or any idea even, it can be very, very difficult when you're talking to people, because they'll tell you like a bunch of general information, which is great, but sometimes it doesn't help you out as much as you'd want because you don't have any idea of the solution. With that said, you're not really supposed to go into problem discovery with the assumption already in place that like, this is what we're going to do. Let's just make sure that it works, because then you could frame the conversation to giving you the answers that you want versus going into it completely open and unbiased and hearing just what they have to say. And if your thing comes up, then it does. If it doesn't, then maybe it wasn't a problem and your assumption was wrong. So I guess there's two ends to that. But I just found it very difficult to talk to all these people without actually having an idea of what we're going to do, because it's like just taking in a bunch of information but not having any solution for it, or not offering any solution, or not able to build on it, on that relationship right away because you didn't have anything ready. You know, so then you have to go back, which is okay. Like, I mean, people don't really care. And I clearly like talking. But what I'm trying to say is the second time it's a lot easier, because then people will be like, oh, wait, you have an idea of what you're going to do now? And we're like, yeah, we're going to be Cryus Gaming. We're going to have this and this and that, blah, 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 blah. You guys have heard me say it 1,000 times. So then they were like, oh, that's sick. How are you thinking of doing this? Oh, I think you guys should maybe do this. Oh, this might be a really good idea. Oh, we're going to hold a tournament. We're going to blah, 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 blah. So it really helps out, and it feels a lot more productive and satisfying, you could say, once you do have your idea. But that is all part of problem discovery. You have to go out first, find out what the problems are, talk in general, make contacts, make connections. Then once you have some stuff, some solutions possibly, then you go back. You can go back third time if you want, fourth time, it doesn't matter, and talk to them, build on the relationship, build up the connections, and kind of talk about what your business is. So we did a whole bunch of that. Then what we did after creating our socials is we made a website, because we weren't going to make a website originally. We were going to like wait for a bit, get someone professional to do it. But we realized in order to like look more legit, in order to be more legit, because we didn't have a team yet, we didn't have content out yet, you know, we don't have a whole bunch of investors. So we have to show that we are serious about this. So we made a website, keeps everything in check. There's a blog on there, which we do once in a while. There's like little updates. There's, you know, a place, it just looks more professional, and it was a really good thing that we did. So we made a website. Then the biggest thing that we did, which Alex had been working on for months, was our Discord server. That one took a lot of effort, and that was really great, because originally it was Crowd Control Esports was the server, But then when we split off from that, since Alex created it and we hadn't done anything with it yet, we got to keep that because that was like our property in a sense, because like we didn't have any physical assets, but that was like, I guess that is a physical asset, or I don't know what the word is. But basically when you split off, like, you know, everybody gets like what they worked on in a sense, because it's like just all idea generation at that time. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So anyways, we got the server. Alex like buffed it up, you know, made it like really fancy, put our logo in there, put in the channels that we want, invited a bunch of people. And that's just like the way that we connect with everybody, right? So that's the way that we get people into our server. That's where we promote our social media, our new YouTube videos. The Twitch streams of all of our players and our coaches and stuff are on there too. So it's just like a way for our community to come together. That's where people reach out if they have questions. And that's where the guy who had listened to this podcast reached out to me, went onto Discord, and we had a call on Discord. So that's a really, really great source for finding information and for chatting with people in the space and in the industry. So once we had all that ready, we decided that we were going to start by creating content, but also we're going to have a competitive team in Rocket League. I'm not going to go into details about that because I've talked about that on previous podcasts about why we chose Rocket League and all that good stuff. So we're like, we're going to be in Rocket League. We're going to be a competitive team. We're also going to make content. So Alex and I decided to just jump right out of the gate, made a couple of videos with just us. And during that time, we were reaching out to people to find a team. So that's the next big step, obviously, if you're doing it this way. And that's why I'm saying this is the way we did it. You don't have to do it this way. You can do it different ways. There's other ways to, you know, get a team together. Or maybe you want to have competitive later on and you want to start with content creation or something. Like, there's so many different ways. And that's where esports is exciting in a sense too, is because there's not like a set rule book. It's not like you, first step, you have to join this accelerator program. Then you have to find a team. Then you have to, you know what I mean? You don't, it's just, this is the way we did it. This is our roadmap. This is our timeline of events. The way you do it might be different. So we started advertising in a variety of servers to try to find our players. And now again, this is where the luck comes in. We went into this one server, the Canadian Esports Championship Series server. And I know I've talked about it on another podcast to Azuki, but he's the admin of a different server. So many servers going around. So anyways, I was going to advertise in this one server. So I did. Then someone reached out to me and said, hey, you should put this advertisement for Rocket League players in this other server, because it's more specific. Message Zuki, because he's an admin for the server. So I messaged Zuki with this whole pitch, basically. Well, not pitch, sorry. This whole presentation, in a sense, advertisement, looking for players. And he's like, read it and went, wait, I have a team. I might be interested. My team might be interested. So that's where we got lucky. That's what I'm trying to say, is that we were prepared. We were talking to people. We were putting advertisements out. Someone reached out to us. We got in contact with this other guy in this other server who happens to now be on our Rocket League team, okay? So that's where things just work out. When you're prepped and you're ready and you're open, you never know what might happen. And that's where it's super exciting. So we got lucky. We found a Rocket League team in a matter of days. We expected that to take a couple of weeks. So the fact that we found them, like, we were going to hold tryouts and everything. We thought we might find like one player, and then we'd have to find another player and another player, and we're going to have like a pool of like 5 to 7 players, and we're going to put them in competitions against each other and like see who like grinds it out the most and who gets along the best and who wants to be on the team, which would have been exciting but also really stressful and time consuming. So it really worked out that Zuki had a team ready to go. He had all 3 players, and we met with them. They were super chill. They're really good at the game, and they were down to join the org. Now, I think that before I get into the last step that we did, a very important part is that although at the very beginning, lots of times there's no money involved. Like, we can't pay our players right now. We're a startup. Like, we don't have money to pay ourselves. We only have a couple $1,000s from a pitch, and most of that has already gone to like registering and stuff as a business, which is the last step, which I'll talk about in a sec. So you will be surprised though by how many people would like to join, because it's cool, and it's also like the next feasible and legitimate step in building your career. And the thing is, you could, no matter what, get some buddies together for whatever the game is, join a whole bunch of tournaments, have some fun, there you go. But in order to take the next step, if you want to, obviously not everybody wants to, like, I don't want to be a pro player, so I never wanted to join an org and be a player. But if you do want to do that, lots of times players are really down to join an org. And actually Zuki and stuff, it worked out for them too, because they were saying that they wanted to take it to the next level. They wanted to join an org, but they didn't think that was possible here in Canada, and they didn't know if anybody was going to be willing to take them on because they've never been a part of an org. And then we're on the other side of that going, we don't know if any players want to be part of us because we're so new and we've never done this before and we can't pay them and blah, blah, blah. They might just want to play with their friends. Why would they want to join us? But it works out. Because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is legitimize esports in Canada, and for us specifically, Western Canada. So that's what we're trying to do. And when you find like-minded people, especially who are players and stuff, who want to do that, the next step is to join an org. And guess what? We're an org. So that really worked out nicely. It didn't really take that much convincing at all. If anything, we were all on board the very first quick meeting that we had. So that was great. That was the steps that we took in order to find players, in order to build our org. That's like kind of what we did. And I guess I should also say, one, we were finding the competitive team, and even now, like, we're creating content because, like I've always said, I like content. And also Alex and I graduated with, you know, broadcasting degrees, communications degrees, so content's always been a part of that. That's what we're trying to build up, is our content, build audiences, all that good stuff. Okay, now real quick, these last 2 points are super easy. Next part that we did with our pitch money that we got, we registered Cryus as a legitimate business. So we're registered, paid fees, everything's legit. Then we also have a lawyer who does contracts and stuff for us for players between Alex and I, because we're co-founders, so we have different agreements between us. So we have a lawyer to help us out with all that. That's where most of our money is going to, is just legal stuff, registering, business stuff. And like I mentioned just a couple of seconds ago, is our next step is just working on building our brand up enough to get sponsors, because that's how you make some cash. But in order to do that, you have to have a pretty big audience. So it's not like it's going to happen overnight, but that's where we're going to try to take the content, build up an audience while our competitive team is in a whole bunch of tournaments, a whole bunch of events, and just making contacts, hanging out with people, and doing all that good stuff. So that's kind of our next step. Now, really quick to wrap this up, some of my advice: talk to a whole bunch of people in the industry. Do cold emails, go into servers, just do anything you can just to talk to people. Search up organizations, search up associations, search up schools, everything and anything around you, just to sort of get your name out there, just to get started, just to start talking to people. Do that. Another very important thing is practice pitching. So that way, when you do talk to these people, you already have an idea in mind. You have your value proposition. You have the idea of what your business is going to be. Even if you don't have anything feasible or anything physical yet, right? Like when Cryus Gaming first started, we didn't have any YouTube videos yet. We didn't have a competitive team. All we had was our name, our logo, and our pitch, right? So that's all we had to go based off of, is our personalities and our visions and our ideas and kind of like what we want to accomplish and how we're going to do it. So practice pitching. Practice all of that stuff. It's going to be so useful. There's different types of pitches. You can do long pitches. You can do short pitches. Practice elevator pitches. So that way, when you're talking to people and they're asking questions, you have answers. This doesn't necessarily mean you have to have, like, you know, Google Slides or, you know, PowerPoint presentation on your phone at all times so you can show them and do a formal presentation. It's literally by practicing pitching is, yes, do that. Obviously, so you have like a formal pitch ready to go in case you actually do have a legit pitch. But also by practicing pitching, I mean, just know what you're going to talk about. So people are like, what's Cryus Gaming? I can answer that question. Well, what do you do with players? I have the question. What game are you competing in? I have a question. Why are you doing that? I have an answer. Sorry, I said question. I meant I have answers. They ask a question, I have an answer. That's kind of the whole gist of it. That way, when you do make these connections, you get something out of it, right? If they have questions, you're not like, I don't know. I don't actually know. I didn't think of that. And there might be, you know, scenarios where you didn't, and that's when you're just honest. Go, like, never lie. That's I think that's also another good piece of advice. Don't lie. Don't build yourself up to be something that you're not, or the org is something that it's not. If you don't know a question or you don't have an answer for something, just be legit, because people are going to be able to sniff that out and be like, I think you're lying. And then they probably won't trust you. So just be legit. If you actually don't know, tell them that. But I'm just saying, for the most part, have stuff ready to go. Anticipate what they might ask. Keep it short. Keep it concise. Keep them interested. Okay? I guess the last piece of advice is just be nice to people. Everybody in this industry is kind of connected. Just be cool. Have some fun. Esports is fun. You know, you're trying to build a cool business. It might be stressful, but it's fun. And like I said, be prepared. Those are the biggest things. You know, you're going to start finding people who share your vision when you start talking to people. and it's going to be great. It's a lot of fun. It's stressful at first, but the biggest thing is just get started. Just do it. And also, one of the most important things too, just don't expect it to take off right away. If you go into it with a mindset that it's got to take off in 2 weeks or you're screwed, or, you know, you're going to give up forever, well, that's not the right mindset to have, because, you know, like I said, we've been doing crowd control esports. Our journey started a year ago with crowd control. Then we did a couple of months in this launch pad still with that company. Then we did like a month with our new company without even a name, and we're figuring that out. And now it's near the end of June and we're still working on it. And we're not like rich and famous, and not everybody's trying to join the org, and we don't have huge contracts, and we're not in like the RLCS. You know what I mean? Like, things will take time. Our YouTube videos aren't viral yet. Things are going to take a bit of time, but just do it because you enjoy it. Do it because you have fun, and just stay motivated to keep putting out some great content if that's what you want to do, or whatever other thing you're doing. Just be motivated to keep doing it. Things will work out. And I think that is all. I hope that really explains how we kind of started Cryos Gaming, the steps that we took, the steps that we hopefully take. And I want to do one of these in the future, again, once we are at a different point in our careers and with the business, when I can look back and be like, hey, so remember that stuff that I said here? Well, here's how this turned out, and here's how this worked, or do this or don't do this. Like, I'll hopefully have some more advice for you guys as we go along and build this business. But for today, I think that is all. Thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Thanks to Enzo for hopping on a call and for chatting with me for a bit. Really cool guy. Hopefully he has some exciting stuff soon. And I already told him, if he has some stuff built in the next couple of months, I'm going to definitely have him on the podcast, because I love talking to people in the industry and he seems like a really nice guy. So shout out to you. Thanks for joining the server. Thanks for listening. And thank all of you for listening. I will see you guys next time. Have a good one. Bye.